This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
Oh, Jesus King, most wonderful, O conqueror renowned, O source of peace ineffable, in whom all joys are found.
Well, that's a little reminder of a person being remembered on this day by the Church, Bernard of Clairvaux, a 12th century hymn writer and theologian, joining us here in the studio to talk about Bernard of Clairvaux for the next few minutes on this Thursday afternoon, August the 19th, Dr. Matt Phillips. Now, normally we have Dr. Phillips on the phone because he resides in Seward, Nebraska, where he teaches as associate professor of theology at Concordia University, Nebraska. But today he has kindly joined us in the studio. Dr. Matt Phillips, welcome back.
I'm a historian, not a theologian officially, so just to clarify.
You know, don't underestimate yourself, but okay. You are a professor of history, yes, yes. I should say. How would our listeners most likely today be aware of the influence of Bernard of Clairvaux?
Probably if they're Lutheran or Catholic, even an average layperson would have heard of the hymn, or a lot of Christians would have heard of the hymn, O Sacred Head, Now Wounded, a very famous Lenten hymn. If anybody's heard or studied the Second Crusade, they would have heard of Bernard of Clairvaux as a preacher of the Second Crusade. And if anybody's interested in the Middle Ages, or if they would be even have a slight interest in the religion of the Middle Ages, Bernard of Clairvaux would be pretty high to the top of that list as a theologian and monk and preacher.
Give us a brief bio of the man.
He was from a lower class nobility, I guess lower class in a modern, that's a modern phrase, but he was from minor nobility, that's a better way to say it, from a 12th century perspective. So he was a knight as a young man. He had a very strong conversion experience, and what I mean by that is he certainly was baptized as a child, was raised as a Christian, but when he was probably about 20, I would say, in the early 12th century, around 1120 approximately, he joined a new monastery in Clairvaux in France, and that was part of a very small group at that time called the Cistercians, and it grew into one of the largest religious orders in history. It is still a religious order in the Roman Catholic Church today, and that order would have tremendous influence on the spirituality, on the theology, and on the devotion of Christians in the 12th century forward.
Let's talk about that connection with the Crusade that you mentioned before. Did he preach and do his theology at the time crucial in Crusade history?
Well, there was one Crusade where he was extremely influential. The Pope who called that Crusade was a Pope named Eugenius III. Eugenius III, this was the Second Crusade, generally is what it's called, in the 1140s. It was a Crusade sent to help fight, help the Christian countries that had been created in the Holy Land after the First Crusade. He preached it he was very concerned about people's salvation, as any preacher should be, and he did not want knights to go to hell. And while he certainly was for fighting, in his mind, in defense of Christianity, he saw it as a great opportunity for knights to express piety by going on a crusade. And it was all wrapped up in the medieval notions of pilgrimage and fighting for a good cause and a holy cause. And he saw this as an opportunity for knights and other Christians who were not monks or something else to go defend the church, defend fellow Christians, and I guess, for lack of a better term, merit or earn salvation, or at least show that they were really repentant for their sins. That might be a better way to say it.
I think it needs to be understood that the Crusades at the time were not viewed with kind of the modern sensibilities that we project back onto
them. No, it was 800 years ago, it started more than 800 years ago. And as historians, we have to, whether we agree with it or not, that's a different issue. And certainly as a Lutherans, we would have a big disagreement theologically with the theology of the Crusades, but you have to try to look at it from their perspective, no matter who you're studying. So, I mean, theologically, I don't think the preaching of the Crusades was Bernard's best moment for as a Lutheran particularly, but you can look at his intent. His intent was he wanted people to go to heaven, and he thought that was a way for lay people to live their Christian faith.
Is there a Reformation connection? Obviously, there's about 300 years difference between Luther and the other reformers and Bernard of Clairvaux, but is there a connection to the Reformation with Bernard?
There certainly is. There's been a number of works fairly recently. Gosh, I can't think of the names off the top of my head. Franz, I think, is one of the names. There's a couple of work. There's a work in German and a couple of works in English on the connection of Bernard of Clairvaux's influence on Martin Luther particularly. And I believe, and maybe somebody could look this up, or I should have looked it up beforehand, that Bernard is quoted in the Book of Concord favorably in one place, particularly because Bernard wrote to that same pope later a document called On Consideration, and it was basically a call to reform Christianity, not just a doctrinal reform, but also it was a plan he wrote to the pope to say, these are the things we need to do to try to bring about reform, better living, and doctrinal reform in the church. And I think that document gets quoted. I cannot remember exactly where it is, but I mean, that's something people could look up if they're interested.
You mentioned just a few minutes ago that our listeners would be familiar with Bernard of Clairvaux's hymn, O Sacred Head, Now Wounded. Does this in some ways encapsulate the message of Bernard of Clairvaux?
I think it encapsulates, technically, if you want to get technical, and there's been articles written about this, every word in that hymn you would not attribute to Bernard. That hymn is actually part of a much larger piece of Cistercian devotion to the crucified Christ. And we all know the theology of the cross played a big role in Luther's Reformation at the very beginning and continue to play a big role in his development, the development of the doctrine of justification and even to our own notions of biblical doctrine today. But that hymn really took out one part in it. The original hymn we have from a late medieval Cistercian house, and it actually looks at every part of the crucified Christ. And the hymn we have is just a translation from Latin of the part about the head of Christ, which makes a lot of sense. I've read through most of the original hymn, and it talks about your feet are pierced, your hands are pierced, the side, and it has a stanza for each part of the body of Christ. Lerner didn't write every part of that, and much of it was written by later Cistercians. His spirituality, his devotion, particularly contained in his sermons on the Song of Solomon, which were some of his most famous sermons, I would say, that he kind of rewrote later and had them published, essentially in a medieval sense, by having them put in manuscripts, and other sermons. This reflects his very strong focus on the incarnation and suffering of Christ. And that's what that's a direct line to both the Reformation and the Catholic or Counter-Reformation, as some people call it. That was a big focus among Jesuits and others.
Laying aside his influence through those two very well-remembered hymns, today the Church, as it observes Bernard of Clairvaux, someone might ask, why even bother to remember this 12th century hymn writer and theologian? What's your answer to that with about 30 seconds?
That's a good question. I would say, as a Christian, his influence was immense. And as a Lutheran and as a biblical, one who wants to stay true to the biblical text as much as possible and the true teaching of justification, I think Bernard knew that he was saved by grace through faith. Obviously, if you're a Roman Catholic, we might have a few disagreements over that, but that's fine. Bernard knew that he went to heaven or was going to go to heaven, and I believe he is in heaven now. His soul is with Christ and will be raised on the final day. He went to heaven because Christ died for his sins and took them away and rose to justify him. And I think that's the most important thing about him.
Dr. Matt Phillips is Associate Professor of History at Concordia University in Nebraska, so kind to join us on his way through town here in the studio to remember, along with the rest of the Church, 12th century hymn writer and theologian Bernard of Clairvaux. Dr. Phillips, stick around a little bit and watch the rest of the show. Thank you very much for coming.
Thank you very much.
When we come back from this break, we're going to be talking with Brett McCracken. He's written a very interesting, and I shall say timely, book called Hipster Christianity: When Church and Cool Collide. He's also written a recent column for the Wall Street Journal titled The Perils of Wannabe Cool Christianity. He's managing editor of Biola University's Biola Magazine. We'll be talking about hipster Christianity. You say, what is hipster Christianity? Well, it's everywhere. Walk into any big box church and you will see it on display. We'll describe it in a little more detail and talk about what could be done about it after this.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
When you need a friend, you have a friend in Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, and friends among His people at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Arnold, Missouri. At Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, we offer Christ-centered word and sacrament ministry, inspirational liturgical worship services, and faithful preaching and teaching. Sunday worship services are at 9 a.m. Sunday school and Bible class are at 10:30. We also have an excellent Christian preschool. We invite you to join us. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, 2211 Tenbrook Road, Arnold, Missouri, 636-296-1292.
The faith, once for all, delivered to the saints. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Pro-life attorneys prepare to fight for life.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
While Nebraska's new law banning certain abortions is set to take effect October 15th, abortion advocates have promised a court battle to prevent what they call anti-woman legislation. But the Alliance Defense Fund and its 1,600 pro-life attorneys are ready to defend it. Senior legal counselor Steve Aiden compares the pain and suffering of an unborn baby at a post-20 weeks abortion to that inflicted on animals by convicted animal abuser Michael Vick. If our society will not tolerate that for dogs, surely we can outlaw it for children, too.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.